You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Whoops, you've tuned in to Nerd Overload again, the pop and geek culture show where we discuss pop and geek culture for a whole hour. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's get into some things we've been checking out.
Other than Zelda.
Other than Zelda. Yeah, we've all been playing Zelda. We've talked about that a lot the last couple weeks.
We're going to have to put a hold on all Zelda talk from here on out.
I'm very close to being done. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. We watched Train to Busan last night.
Ah.
It's a Korean zombie movie.
Set on a train.
Yeah, zombies on a train.
Oh, right on.
It was really good.
Oh, it was shot really, really well.
Yeah.
The blocking was really, really good, I think.
The way the zombies moved was really cool. They were fast zombies.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah. No.
I hate fast zombies.
I used to feel that way, but after all the Walking Dead and all the constant slow zombies we've had lately, this was actually refreshing.
It depends on the setting. It really depends on the kind of setting and the kind of film you want to tell. In some cases, I think fast zombies are preferred, but usually I tend towards the slower ones.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the way I felt, but in this movie, it really works. I mean, they're really rabid and nasty and fast.
Nice.
It's got a really kind of heart-wrenchy plot at some points, because it's a dad and his daughter, and he's trying to take her to go visit her mom, his ex-wife, and that's when it breaks out on the train, and I don't want to spoil it. But there's a scene toward the end that it just absolutely wrecks you.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Now, where would this be found?
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right.
Just got added.
Yep.
Watch it.
Yeah, I'd been meaning to watch it for a while, and then it showed up on Netflix. I'm like, oh, well, now's a good time.
There you go.
Now that it's on Netflix. But it's really good. It makes Walking Dead look dumb.
That would not take much these days.
I am not a big fan of that show anymore.
It wore thin.
I think it's way overrated too. It's, in a world of premium TV shows that are extra, really good, it doesn't stand up next to like your Breaking Bads and your Mad Men. It's too schlocky and dumb.
I think that's why people like it though.
But it tries to act like it's not.
That's true.
It's not self-aware at all, and I'm done with it.
Yeah, I think it started really running into problems once the show ran past the comic storylines. Once they had to kind of come up with their own stuff, is when it really got kind of schlocky and not very good.
Well, then it zipped back around and started picking up comic storylines again.
But by then it was too late. They made too many changes.
Well, my thing was I'm just tired of the whole zombie genre as a
Well,
I mean, the saturation point is
But
it's interesting to see another culture's take on the zombie thing, too.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like...
It still hit, a lot of the same beats as, a...
Typical zombie movie?
More like a classic, is how I would word it. But it's still, it was different enough where it was really interesting.
I think that's why I like the movie Let the Right One In.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Swedish vampire film set in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Super good movie. The American remake, Let Me In, is not bad either, but I really enjoyed the original.
We also tried to watch Yoga Hosers and had to drop out about 10 minutes in because it was bad.
You couldn't do it?
I could not do it.
Couldn't stomach it, huh?
I normally like Kevin Smith, but this was the dialogue was so bad.
Yeah.
And that's what he's normally good at. I don't know what happened.
Well... Weed. Weed happened.
Yeah, but weed's always been a factor in him.
Not for those early ones. Not really. It's really been since Red State.
State was a good movie.
Red State was a good movie. Well, it was post-Red State is when he really kind of got into that whole culture, super, super heavy. And it's just kind of been kind of downhill.
The beginning was like Scott Pilgrim that sucks.
Yeah.
Because they would do those character introduction cutaway things. And it was bad. It had very much like the Life is Strange style. Like, this is how teens talk.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah, how do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah.
But then he's also writing that dialogue to come out of his daughter's mouth, which is weird. Like,
yeah,
it was cringe. The whole thing was a huge cringe fest.
For the 10 minutes that you watched it.
For the 10 minutes that I watched, yeah.
I've heard once Johnny Depp shows up as the French police, like, captain or chief or detective or whatever, it gets good.
Oh, yeah, I can see that, yeah.
But up until then, it's like, just near unwatchable.
Yeah, maybe we should go back and try to stick it out till Guy Lapointe shows up.
It makes me worried about Moose Jaws.
Yeah.
Because that's the third in this True North trilogy or whatever he's calling it.
Like, none of the jokes in that beginning hit. Not a single one. And there was a lot of, it's funny because they're Canadian.
Yeah.
He said bag of milk because their milk comes in bags. Like, ugh.
Like, there's a couple jokes like that in Tusk, but it wasn't as bad.
Yeah. This, they were laying it on extra thick.
I think it was that Tusk wasn't comedy. It had comedy bits, but it wasn't a full-blown, it was a horror movie first.
Yeah.
Whereas Yoga Hosers is, it's a comedy.
Supposedly.
In theory, it's
alleged
a comedy.
Comedy.
alleged comedy film, Yoga Hosers. It's not that I didn't want to like it. Like, I wanted to like it.
Oh, I'm always rooting for Kevin Smith.
Yeah. But no, I'm like, I'm out. I
Train to Busan.
Yeah, I tapped out and switched it to Train to Busan, and it was a good choice.
Yeah, you made the right decision there for sure. Well, if we're talking about movies, I actually got a chance to go out to the theaters the other day and saw the new Beauty and the Beast. Actually, I had to do it for work, but I was going to see it one way or the other. It was just kind of a good excuse to go see it. I've always been a Disney animated kid growing up. I think we all are. I think everyone in our generation really was. When I was a kid, Aladdin was always my favorite, but looking back on it, I think Beauty and the Beast was probably one of their best.
It was definitely, it hit a lot of, at the time, like, technical, like,
yeah,
accolades and things like that.
Yeah. And I just think the story was well, probably the most well-balanced.
As old as time.
It is as old as time. That's right. So they made this live action and.
Like they've been doing.
Yeah. And it is exactly the animated movie, but longer and not as good. It hits every single point, one right after the other, of the exact same as the animated film. It's hard to explain. It's the exact same movie, but it's not. They've added a couple extra scenes that are completely unneeded. They added a subplot about Belle's mom.
That's weird.
Yeah, that culminates with Belle and the Beast taking a magic book that lets them transport to anywhere, to the house that Belle was born in, to find out what happened to her mom. And, oh, surprise, it was the plague. And that's where that plot line ends.
Okay.
The end there.
I feel like that would just been a story that her dad would have told her.
Yeah. And like,
it was a whole running thing in the first third of the movie where Maurice doesn't talk about Belle's mom at all. And Belle just wants to, she has to know. And it's like,
I feel like a magic book that takes you anywhere can probably be a huge plot hole machine.
Yeah, and they only reference it once. It never comes back.
Hurry, run away from Gaston and the angry mob. Let's use our magic book that'll
teleport
take us.
Book.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it
a
just.
A port key.
Yeah, it kind of is. They added a couple extra songs, and they were written by, was it Andrew Rice?
I don't remember.
I think it's Andrew Rice, the guy who did the original songs. They're not as good. It's just, and I know why they padded it out. They wanted it to hit a 2-hour mark. That's all it is, because the original animated movie was about an hour and a half, which
most anime movies are.
Yeah. And I mean, it's pretty light on plot anyway.
Yeah. But it hit every mark, one right after the other, just like the animated movie. The couple of changes that they made, Belle's dad was a painter instead of a
inventor.
Belle was the inventor. She invents the washing machine so that she could read books.
She's the Violet Baudelaire now.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. The cast did all right. There were a couple actors that just seemed like, Emma Watson seemed like she was kind of phoning it in. a little bit. She looked bored to be on screen at any point.
Every picture I've seen, every still from the movie, she looks kind of bored.
Yeah, she just looks bored to be there. She was auto-tuned to the point that I could notice it, and that's something I don't usually notice when I see movies. But you could tell that she must have been just horribly off key during those songs, which is a shame because she is the lead and has the most songs.
Yeah.
The CG on the beast looks good. He looks like the animated beast, exactly like the animated beast. I think that's my biggest problem.
I thought he looked a little small.
He was about 7 foot.
Hmm.
All told, he hunched over a lot to make him match. Basically, they made him a huge beast, but he was always hunched over so that his head would reach about the height that the actor playing him,
yeah,
that was mocapping him, would be. So it kind of... The movie does this thing that kind of drives me nuts in most movies. Beauty and the Beast is a French story. It's set in France. They mention France. They go to Paris at one point. Everyone's British. Everyone's British except Lumiere, and it's not even a good British because Ewan McGregor.
You mean French?
Yeah,
I meant French.
It's Ewan McGregor's British, can't do a French accent to save his life. Again, he's Lumiere. He's the one. He has the big, you know, be our guest and all this stuff, and it's not good.
Gandalf the clock.
Yeah. And he just sounded
like
tired. He just sounded like they rolled him in for one day. He didn't have a whole lot. He really didn't have a whole lot to do. They added a couple extra talking inanimate objects to the cast. Stanley Tucci is a talking piano. And the scenes where he's a human, he's Tucci-ing it up in the background, like smiling and doing and then this. And it's unneeded. It's just unneeded. On the flip side, Gaston steals the show. You love to hate him. He's just so, you know, overblown and pompous and everything. And he really just kind of, yeah, it kind of steals the show. Him and LeFou and Josh Gad.
When they said they were adding a gay character, I thought maybe it would be Gaston.
No, it's LeFou.
Yeah, it would be funnier if it was, and better if it was Gaston.
It probably would have been, it would have played for laughs a little better.
He always struck me as somebody who he just wanted to be with Belle because he was, felt like he was supposed to.
Yeah.
Like,
no, even the LeFou thing, they don't outright say anything. It could still be read as super best friend, cool buddy, just a little effeminate.
I heard he just dances with a dude. And
at the very end.
It. Yeah.
In the last, it's like one of the last shots. They're in a ballroom dancing after everyone's changed back and they're switching partners. And all of a sudden you have LeFou start dancing with a dude that previously in a previous scene. How do I set it up? In a previous scene during the big fight scene with the animated objects versus the townspeople, there was a dresser that wraps up three of the guys in women's clothing, and oh my god, they're so embarrassed because they're wearing women's clothing.
Except
for one of them who thinks he looks very pretty and like kind of minces away. And the dance scene at the end, LeFou starts dancing with that guy, and then it cuts. That's kind of it, and it's really on the nose, and it's really kind of
it's like borderline offensive.
If it wasn't so light on the story, it would be offensive, but it's just kind of, it just kind of left a bad taste in the mouth a little bit. I think
when I heard it was LeFou, I thought they would just have him end up happy with another guy at the end that wasn't Gaston, somebody who would appreciate him who he is.
And the implication is maybe this dress dude was one,
but they don't
follow through. They don't say anything. It's just kind of,
they sure were patting themselves on the back about it,
though. Oh, they sure were. Yeah.
If you're going to do that, do a good job.
Yeah. Follow through.
Yeah.
CG looks good. I don't know.
The teapot looked like a nightmare.
I didn't like the design of most of the CG characters. Like, I hated the way Lumiere looked.
Yeah.
Cogsworth didn't even have a face, really.
He does.
Does he?
He does have a face. His eyes are like the keyholes when you're going to wind.
Okay, because I was like, I saw clips and stuff, and it just looked like he was just a walking clock.
Yeah. They did this weird thing with the feather duster where the top half of the feather duster looked like a bird and flew around. Like a bird. It was weird. They did add this kind of neat twist where every time the petal fell from the rose and they got closer to like no longer being able to be turned back into human, the all of the objects became more object-like.
That's kind
of
cool.
And
that's
the deal was when the rose totally wilts, all of the things just turn into inanimate objects and the beast is left completely alone by himself. And that's kind of a neat...
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah, it turns up the stakes a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, it's still a movie about Stockholm Syndrome a little bit, but just go and watch the animated movie. It's better.
It's been years since I've seen it anyway.
It's better. Well, it's the exact same thing, but shorter and better. I don't know.
That's a good line. I should use that sometime.
There you go. Yeah. But no, other than that, it's really just been Zelda, and I don't want to talk about.
Yeah,
we've done enough of that.
We've done two episodes of nothing but Zelda talk. So, yeah. So,
well, let's see here. I've been watching a lot of cartoons.
Okay. Always good.
I caught up on Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
Okay.
Because I kind of forgot with all their weird hiatus schedules that it actually had come back and actually finished the season out. It's good. Still very good.
They did sympathetic villains really well on that show.
Yeah, they did. Like, at one point you meet Ludo's family and you kind of feel a little bit.
Ooh.
Yeah. They did a lot of world building on the Muni side of things. Like, you actually find out a lot of stuff about, like, Star's mom. But just a lot of world building and, like, how, like, insane Ludo basically is at this point. And there's like a lot of episodes where they flip flop between like a Star storyline and like a Ludo Muni storyline, like what's going on in the other realms outside of Earth, and eating tacos and using magic.
We watched like a couple of them in a row, and they were like none of them had Star in them.
Yeah, there's like one where it's just Ludo. That one's a really good one, Ludo in the Wild.
Yeah,
that's a very good episode. Yeah.
I like the one where Marco borrows the dimensional scissors and then loses them to Hekapu.
Oh, yeah, and then has to get his own pair.
Yeah, and it takes him like...
15 years?
Yeah, 15 years, and he grows into a grizzled, muscular adult Marco.
Yeah, like Road Warrior Marco.
Yeah, and then later it all reverts back, but he still has all the memories of everything he went through.
Yeah, because time works differently in Hekapu's dimension or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing where they built like this whole magical council of otherworldly beings that kind of in charge of all magic. And Glossark is apparently the most powerful one. Glossark being the guy who lives inside Star's spellbook.
That's voiced by Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah. Man, he's a weird character. But no, it was very good. They kind of confirmed a lot of things in the season that... probably people I'm not doing any spoilers, but it was like things that like, oh, okay, well, I kind of figured that would happen.
I don't want Star and Marco to get together, and it looks like that's what the show wants to happen.
I won't tell you.
Okay. But I don't want that. I don't, why can't there be a show about a boy and a girl where they are just friends, you know?
It's probably Sailor Moon. Probably where she gets her inspiration.
Yeah.
That was really good. I thought maybe the series had ended, but apparently they picked up for a third and fourth season.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Third and fourth.
Yeah. Really got to drag that story out, I guess.
They're not Gravity Falls in this one.
Oh, man. It's such a good show. But I think it ended on a good note on that one. Didn't drag it out like Adventure Time did.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I've heard Adventure Time's gotten really good. Oh, I haven't watched it, but I've heard it's gotten really good.
I haven't watched it since the Islands miniseries stopped. That was really, really good. Like, going out and finding where all the humans went after they left whatever continent Ooh is supposed to be. Or where the Candy Kingdom and everything is, anyway. That was really, really good. Meet Finn's mom. Super cool.
I've heard Steven Universe is kind of going downhill. I have no evidence to back this up. I haven't watched it myself.
Blasphemy.
Yeah.
They can't decide if they want to do Steven Bombs or weekly episodes. It's still good. I wish they would do more, like, figure out what they're doing. Because after they did this last Stephen Baum with Greg getting kidnapped and going to space, that was really good.
There, I want that spinoff, Space Greg.
Yeah, that would be great.
Mr. Universe explores the universe.
I would watch the crap out of that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Watch the second episode of Samurai Jack, or, well, the second episode of the fifth season of Samurai Jack.
Does it continue to be good?
Oh, yeah. It's very good, and definitely you get the tone of this season real quick. Mm. And when you see Aku.
Hey, finally.
Yep, he's voiced by the understudy of...
Mako.
Mako,
yeah. Yeah, I figured.
The same guy who did Uncle Iroh's voice mm-hmm. for the later seasons of Avatar after he had passed away.
I imagine it's probably a little bit closer just by virtue of having years extra to practice.
Yeah. I mean, it still doesn't quite sound the same.
It's not going to.
I know. And I know that. But it's nice that it's close.
Yeah.
And not, you know, just rehashing old audio.
Yeah, that would get weird at a point.
Or if they say... Over the years, I've had, you know, my voice box has changed over these, you know, hundreds years. Of years or 50 years. I sound like this now. It's George Takei.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Are you doing George Takei?
Hello, everyone.
I'm Aku.
My name is Aku. Samurai Jack. Oh, my.
You, sir. But, oh, man, could you imagine if they would have got the guy who played Lopan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. James Hong.
Yeah. As a coup.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes, Mr. Burton.
That's a nice knife, Samurai Jack. Oh, man. I love that movie.
That's a great movie. Big Trouble in Little China. Have you seen?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
Okay.
That is a great movie.
Yes, it is.
I will watch it anytime it's on.
Just about.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go for it. Did you know that it was originally written as a sequel to Buckaroo Banzai?
Yes. But yeah. I think we've had this discussion.
We've talked about this. Yeah. Yeah. He was Lopan was supposed to be the leader of the World Crime League, which was teased at the end of Buckaroo Banzai and Across the Eighth Dimension.
That is another weird movie, too.
Oh, it's a great movie.
So many big actors, but like back when they were like young and kind of starting out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, back to Samurai Jack.
Sure.
Tangent.
Back to the Jack.
Yeah. Back to the past. Samurai Jack.
Does it have the same theme song?
No. He actually is kind of just monologuing it.
Oh.
But like in a really dour, kind of downplayed way.
Sure.
This episode hits all kinds of weird, crazy, awesome notes. Like, you kind of see a little bit of like Jack's descent into madness.
Because
In the 50 years of being trapped in the future, he's gone insane.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because he can't age. He's broken because there's no way to get home because Aku has destroyed all the time portals to get home,
mm-hmm.
Which you don't see, but it's mentioned. Aku doesn't care anymore about Jack
because,
like, at one point his scientist's like, hey, look, check out this new giant killer robot we've designed to kill Samurai Jack. He goes, do whatever you want. I don't care. Jack's not a threat. Boo.
Yeah.
And kind of played on the fact that, like, Aku is kind of bored with life now.
Hmm. What if, and I just had this idea, and there's probably a million plot holes in it, and it won't happen, but what if the end of the series is Jack defeats Aku, gains his powers to go back in time, and because he's gone insane, accidentally becomes Aku, it starts a cycle where he battles young Jack in the past, flips it around, and it becomes a never-ending cycle of Jack and Aku are the same person.
That'd be nuts. Yeah. I kind of like the idea, though.
No, Jack, you are the Aku.
No, I really kind of like that idea.
Like, Aku is just old wizard Jack who's gone nuts.
But yeah. This Jack is... He's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he's, like, talking to himself, like he's looking at like almost like a ghost Jedi version of his younger self.
Oh, that's cool.
And his younger self is basically talking about how, like, you know, you can't get out of this situation. What are you going to do? You might as well just, you know, give up.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And Jack and present Jack is like, I'll make it out. I always do. It's always bad at first, but I always make it out. They're just nuts and bolts.
Wow.
Yeah, because basically all he's fought for years have been robots and robot people.
Right, yeah.
And that's when we get to the big part of the episode.
Okay, well, don't spoil it.
No, but it's it's good. It's a little shocking.
Man, I need to watch this.
Yeah, I need to watch it as well, for yeah, sure. Yeah,
get on that Jack train, because it's...
How much of the original series do you have to have seen to enjoy these, you think?
None. You just basically need to know the kind of general story.
Okay.
So 5 minutes on the Wikipedia page
will
get you there. Okay, cool.
Or just, you know, watch the opening sequence.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we get back, we'll get in some news.
Yeah.
We're back. That was Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry. We played that because he passed away over the last week. One of the forefathers of modern rock and roll.
Yeah, basically created rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing, but I thought he was dead already.
I did too.
Yeah.
To be completely honest.
90s.
Yeah. But no, it's a shame.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I totally did think he was already dead.
The most exposure I have to it is Back to the Future.
Well, sure. Yeah. These days, I think that's the most exposure anyone's had to it. But anyway, let's get into some news. First, right off the list, is talk about some DC comic movie news.
I guess,
kind of. they've announced that there's going to be a Green Lantern Corps movie. It's been on the list of stuff for quite a while.
We've had like no information about it.
Yeah. Zero information.
Well, it's one of those like 2019.
Something like that. Like, yeah.
2022.
Yeah. But lately... there have been hints that they're going to start looking for an actor to play Hal Jordan, who is the original Silver Age Green Lantern, the main one, the one that people who read comics will recognize.
Not the original.
Yeah, he's not Alan Scott.
No, he's not Alan Scott. No. But though the teases from the way it looks have been coming from Henry Cavill, the guy who plays Superman, of all places. He's been putting up on his Instagram things about, you know, searching for Hal and all this other dumb stuff.
Which, you know, it's fine and dandy and all, but they really missed on a chance to get, like, you know, maybe a person of color and get Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
The second Green Lantern.
Not the former host of The Daily Show?
No. No, the architect veteran.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. I know.
Yeah. It's an interesting choice to go with Hal Jordan. I mean, certainly there are people who would say, well, he's the most recognizable. I would argue that because Jon Stewart was the Green Lantern they used for Justice League, the animated series. So I would say more people would recognize that character.
Yeah.
Also, it would be a good chance for diversity without having to make any changes to characters.
Yeah, because that always makes people mad.
It makes people mad. So when you have the opportunity to have a minority character already baked into comic lore, why not use them?
Yeah, why do we need another...
white guy.
White dude.
Yeah, 30-something white dude on the Justice League. Because Aquaman, Batman, Superman, The Flash...
Who's younger than everyone.
Who's younger, but still. It still kind of fits that...
Yeah, the only people of color... on that cast is
Cyborg,
and arguably Gal Gadot because she's Israeli.
Right. So 4 out of the 6 are 30-something white dudes.
Yeah. You could at least get a 30-something black dude in there.
Yeah. or like I said off mic, get Kyle Rayner. One, he's half Irish, half Latino. And two, he is a freelance artist when he's not a Green Lantern. His constructs always lend to more like big cartoony, like,
oh yeah,
actually interesting looking things that aren't just, you know, protective domes and lasers and a boxing glove every now and again.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing with Hal Jordan. He's in the comics. He might be the best Green Lantern, but he is certainly the least creative of all of them.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's always just force fields and laser beams. I think writers sometimes forget that you can do things with the Green Lantern power.
Like,
you can create anything, and you're going to make a gun.
Yeah, that's the worst. A gun.
Yeah.
Look at my green gun.
In the awful movie, when he made a fighter jet, it made sense because he's a pilot.
Yeah. That kind of stuff made sense. There was a scene in the Ryan Reynolds movie where he made a race car that went down like a giant Hot Wheels track.
Oh, yeah, with the helicopter scene.
Yeah, that kind of made sense because the scene before he was playing with his nephew with Hot Wheels. So that kind of made sense.
Yeah, it's a great way to get a peek into the character's mind by what they make with their powers.
Yeah, but Hal Jordan in the comics, it's
boring.
Force fields and laser beams. That's it. At least with John Stewart, he's an architect. He's an architect. So he would, like, you could look at his constructs and see, like, how everything is
built. Oh, yeah, he was built. He's always very meticulous in his constructs, and there's, like, form and solidity to it.
There's actually a two-page spread in the Green Lantern Rebirth comic.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that one.
Where Hal Jordan is going through and kind of describing, like, what makes each of their constructs different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Guy Gardner, the one that's always angry.
They have the red-headed bar owner.
Yeah, they always say that his ring is sparking, like, even when it's off, because he's just barely containing it. And the thing is, there's something, like, when he uses his power, there's a construct in there, but there's just, like, so much energy around it that you usually can't see it. But there's something in there. And that Kyle Rayner is constantly looks like it's being drawn and then erased and drawn a little better, and which would translate really super well to film, I think. Yeah. That would be cool.
It would be very visually interesting.
Yeah, and that's what these movies need, because everything is dark and grim and serious.
Yeah.
Well, makes sense, Hal Jordan, dark and grim and serious. All you do is make laser beams and force fields.
Well, that's the thing, though, because, like, Hal in the comics, yeah, he's kind of boring contract-wise, but he's always kind of a snarky, like, smart aleck, too.
Do you really think that
Warner Brothers is going to let that part translate
into his film?
No, they won't.
Also, you already got the Flash to be snarky.
But again, the Flash of the movies, I don't see as being a snarkster.
No.
If they ever get that movie going.
Even in Justice League, he doesn't look like he's going to be the quippy guy.
No. He's just the quick guy.
Yeah.
Man, I really want them to do justice to Green Lantern, mostly because it's really close to my heart.
Yeah. Same here.
I just know they won't.
Well, sure. Oh,
and it hurts.
And I know this comes off as us bashing DC and Warner Brothers again. It's something we've done a million times.
I'm surprised we don't get hate mail about it.
I'm really surprised about that, too. But I think it's because we love, at least in my case, it's because I love these characters so much. I'm more of a DC guy than a Marvel guy. I've said that before. I love these characters so much that I kind of hold them up to a higher standard. I know they could be doing more with these characters, and that's what frustrates me.
I think it's what it is to me, too, is like, you know they can do better, but they don't, and so it hurts.
They can tell great stories with these characters. Oh, it has been done. It has been done for almost
100 years.
It can be done. And they actively choose to not make interesting stories.
Yeah, it's just
plain and simple.
Yeah. And that's the frustrating part of it.
Yeah. I would love for the DC movies to be great so that Marvel would get out of their rut.
Yeah. It would put pressure on them.
Yeah,
to
right now Marvel has no competition. So they're totally cool with being okay. Whereas if these DC, if Justice League and everything were spectacular, it would make Marvel go, we should try something different.
Yeah, we need to up our game.
Yeah, a movie arms race, if you will.
Yeah, and the viewer would win.
Because we would get fantastic superhero movies all the time.
Yeah.
And not maybe once a year with a couple okay ones.
Yeah.
Speaking of superhero movies, let's go ahead and knock this one out. So, you know, Spider-Man is going to be in the Marvel movies.
Yes.
But he is jointly owned by Sony, or at least his film rights are jointly owned by Sony. But Sony is crossing
the
streams with Marvel Studios.
They also own Ghostbusters.
Well, yeah, they own Ghostbusters, for sure. But in order to have, I don't know, to fight to have a competition with their own film,
to undermine their own good Spider-Man movie, the good looking Spider-Man movie that's coming out.
Yeah, they're making a movie based off of the Spider-Man character Venom without having any mention of Spider-Man in his backstory or character.
Yeah, no relation to the Spider-Man Homecoming or the MCU at all.
Yeah, which for the folks at home who aren't aware, Venom is like
evil Spider-Man.
It's evil Spider-Man. And there's
least neutral Spider-Man.
How can you tell a Venom story without Spider-Man where the first couple years of the character's being
is like directly
was Spider-Man's costume. Spider-Man. He's a alien symbiote. If you ever seen pictures of the Spider-Man in the black costume, that's Venom. It was an alien that kind of latched itself to Peter Parker and eventually went nuts and latched itself onto Eddie Brock.
Peter's rival at the newspaper.
Yeah, but it just, how could you tell a story like that?
And why would you want to undermine the other movie with...
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
This is a movie that doesn't make sense.
It makes about as much sense as the Aunt May spy movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the Sinister Six movie that they wanted to try to pump through. Again, how do you make a Sinister Six movie about Spider-Man villains without Spider-Man being mentioned at all? It doesn't make sense.
Man, I got excited like when Amazing Spider-Man 2 had that one scene and you get to see the representations of the Sinister Six, mm-hmm. and we never got it.
Yeah.
Like, I love the Venom character. I always have. He's always one of my favorite... He's one of my favorite Marvel characters.
He's very 90s.
He's... Oh, yeah. He's super 90s.
Well, yeah, he's a big black blob with teeth.
Yeah.
It's pretty 90s.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, the only thing he was missing would be...
Pouches.
Pouches.
Yeah.
Pouches and maybe one eye having, like, no iris in it. Maybe glowing. Hi, Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, send a cable telegram on that one. That was a weak joke.
Oh, no.
But no, this one makes me mad, too, because I love Venom, and I've been a semi-regular Venom reader over the years. I haven't read every series that comes out, mm-hmm. but a lot of them. And it's, you cannot have Venom without Spider-Man. You literally cannot.
You can't have an origin movie, which is what they would have to do without Spider-Man. They can't
unless they're just going to have the symbiote itself floating through space.
It's almost like they have a symbiotic relationship.
Almost. You would, yeah. Huh, funny you brought that up. Yeah.
Stupid.
Win a gold star for that one, Cody. Good job. Great job. Anyway, hey, let's go ahead and finish up these movie superhero things. I guess Wonder Woman has a rating. It's PG-13.
Ooh, surprise. Yeah,
no big surprise.
Yeah, for violence and situations, I guess. Yeah.
Situations.
They going to kiss.
Smooch situations.
Yeah.
Wonder Smooch with Captain Kirk.
They're not going for the hard R.
So we're not getting accurate depictions of Amazons in this.
Yeah, they're going to wear tops.
They're going to wear tops, and they're going to have both their boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a history lesson there, but we don't have time for
that. We don't have time for that. So moving on. Hey, did you hear Robert Downey Jr. is going to be the Doctor? Did you hear about that?
I'm not falling for this trap.
Aw.
The Doctor... He's going to take a step into not the TARDIS.
No, it's some Doolittle.
Step in a TARDIS.
Little.
Yeah, he's going to... Yeah, they've tapped Robert Downey Jr. to play Dr. Doolittle in a reboot movie.
Oh boy, a movie that no one asked for.
Yeah. Is it going to be a kids movie or a family film? Because the last time Robert Downey Jr. did a family film, it was like The Shaggy Dog. Where he was the evil attorney that got the curse of the Shaggy Dog from Tim Allen at the end.
Why does Tim Allen always get cursed?
Hey, there for a while it was Michael Keaton.
Yeah, it was Michael Keaton for a while. Yeah. Some actors are just curse magnets, I guess. Like, how many times has Tim Allen been cursed? He's gotten the Santa Claus. He's been the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He's been shaggy-dogged. There's got to be one more where he's, like, become something.
What happens in Jungle to Jungle? Does he become a jungle?
It was his son raised by a tribe in the jungle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So no curse there. No,
well,
no.
I mean, Parenthood, perhaps.
It's a curse.
It's a form of curse, depending on who you talk to. Yeah. I guess there's one where he was possessed by that biker ghost. And I'm talking about Wild Hogs.
I've seen parts of that movie, and you are wrong, sir.
I have seen that entire movie.
I'm sorry.
And it has its moments. Willie H. Macy is kind of funny in it.
Oh, yeah, but he's William H. Macy.
It kind of balances itself out because William H. Macy is kind of good in it. Tim Allen is neutral, and John Travolta kind of is the antithesis of William H. Macy, where it balances out
you have the whole
the
spectrum.
Good and the bad to just...
The good, bad, and the ugly?
Yeah.
With overage actors on motorcycles?
Oh, and Martin Lawrence is there, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Everyone does.
Oh, there's got to be another Tim Allen curse movie.
There's got to be.
Well, there's three Santa Claus movies.
Yeah, so he's been cursed at least four times. Anyway.
Tim Allen is the mummy.
Tim the Tool Man Tutankhamen.
Well, that's what he gets for wanting more power.
Yeah.
Hubris.
Tomb time.
Anyway, what do we think about a Dr. Doolittle reboot movie starring Robert Downey Jr.?
Do people even care about that character anymore?
See, that's just it. Yeah, I don't think people care. People didn't really care when
Eddie Murphy did
it, you know, twice? 10, 15 years ago.
Nobody wants Downey Doolittle.
Apparently Robert Downey Jr. does. He wants to get paid for it.
I guess. Which you'd think he would have more money than he'd know what to do with.
At this point,
He's been Sherlock Holmes. He's been Tony Stark. He was in that crappy Tropic Thunder movie.
Yeah. He gets all those residual texts from Back to School, which I'm sure gets played on Comedy Central constantly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Back to School. Have you ever seen that movie?
That's the one with Rodney Dangerfield.
That's the one with Rodney Dangerfield where they go.
Right.
And Oingo Boingo's in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I do remember that movie.
It ends with Rodney Dangerfield doing the triple Lindy in a dive contest. Yeah. Why do I know this movie?
It's not good.
It's not a good movie.
I don't like Rodney Dangerfield. I've never cared for him.
I'd rather watch Rover Dangerfield. In a movie about Rodney Dangerfield as a dog, basically.
Caddyshack was all right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Or when he plays the devil's dad in Little Nicky.
I never cared for Little Nicky.
I like Little Nicky.
I never cared for that one.
I liked it when I saw it as a teen.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd like it now.
It just never clicked with me for whatever reason.
All I remember,
click another Adam Sandler movie.
All I remember is that guy had boobs on his head.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that too.
And Popeye's chicken's not freaking awesome.
There, I
we
the
can't
only thing
say that word.
Yeah,
God bless America.
Yeah. The one thing that I remember from Little Nicky that I liked was they were doing that Animal House style, like where's everyone at the end of the movie with like the text scroll.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It got to Renee, not his name, Zellweger, Reese Witherspoon's character. And they said that she was dating her new angelic fitness instructor, Chris Farley. And I was because it was pretty close to after he passed.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was kind of neat that they kind of snuck that one in there. Same thing with 50 First Dates. The head trauma place that Drew Barrymore goes to is the Thomas Monahan Jr. It's his character from Tommy Boy because he constantly got hit in the head. Little stuff like that I like, but the movies on the whole, you know. Boy, this is a tangent. Anyway, let's move into some game news. So they're doing a Pokemon game for Switch?
Supposedly, Game Freak has put up job openings for Switch-related positions. So they're working on something for the Switch.
That's awesome.
That one could assume is Pokemon, but I guess...
It might be
not
Tumbo
really.
The Badass Elephant.
Yeah, you don't really know, because Game Freak does make other games people tend to
believe
forget.
It or not.
Yeah.
There's more than just Pokemon.
Drill Dozer 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Pulse Man 2.
Yeah, I was going to say Pulse Man.
Yoshi. A sequel to Yoshi, the puzzle game. They made that one.
There we go. Yeah. But no, this is good. This is good news. The Switch needs more stuff, and Pokemon would help.
Oh yeah. Man, Pokemon would really surge the sales of that one.
Yeah. Although sales have been good.
They've sold 1.5 million Switches. Yeah,
like
I think
one of their best system launches.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. No kidding. I don't see this being a mainline Pokemon game right out of the gate, like man. So close to Sun and Moon. I can't see it.
What about a port, though, of Sun and Moon? I mean, the Pokedex in that game looks like the Switch.
It does, yeah. I would prefer them to do just a full-on new game instead of doing a port of Sun and Moon.
They'll do a crappy stadium game.
Well, they'll do a stadium game. Although, you know, Sun and Moon is basically stadium these days.
That's true. The big draw of stadium is to see your Pokemon in 3D, and they already are. So.
Yeah, I can see like a mystery dungeon game. Ugh. Or a pinball, Pokemon pinball.
I'd be okay with Pokemon pinball, especially with the HD pinball with the HD.
Oh, that would actually be pretty cool.
It would be cool.
Oh, that would be super cool. Fill in the bumper things.
Yeah, that would be pretty neat.
That'd be fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
What other Pokemon games have they done?
Pokemon Dash.
Yeah,
that
there
was
we go.
The thing.
Yeah.
Pokemon Puzzle League. I'd be okay with that too. Actually, I like Panel de Pon is the puzzle game, and those are based on.
Yeah,
yeah. I think Mystery Dungeon is the only like really other like Pokemon
the main,
title.
The main line, kind of.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't care for those.
Yeah, neither do I.
They're not great.
No, the thing I like about Mystery Dungeon type games is finding the cool loot, like the new cool sword. You don't have that with Pokemon.
Yeah, you can't have Pokemon holding the sword.
Yeah,
except for the one that is an actual sword.
Yeah.
Yep. Go steal.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway, more Switch news. They're doing the Splatoon test fire this weekend.
Yes.
And that's really cool. That means we can kind of test
try
and
out
see.
The new Splatoon, yeah.
Yeah, see how well their servers hold up.
Yeah.
That's really
definitely.
What I'm interested in
seeing. Yeah, with their new pay-for online service, can they bring a decent server to the equation?
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
If they want to make any kind of money on this thing, they're going to have to.
Well, plus, you know, we really don't have the pay for service yet.
Yeah, it's not coming till what, spring or summer?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
when Splatoon comes out.
But this is the infrastructure it's gonna run on is whatever Splatoon's gonna be on, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm just interested to see how well it runs.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Especially the fact that they got rid of the thing where you could draw and other people could see it and
the map.
Miiverse.
Thank you.
That's a shame they're kind of phasing that out.
Yeah. I mean, the Splatoon was the only place where it was of any value.
Well, true.
Or Smash Brothers.
Well,
The Miiverse Smash Brothers level was neat, but other than that, it was just a weird message board for weirdos.
Squidwards.
Yeah. There were a lot of Squidwards.
Well,
there?
For Splatoon, it should be.
Yeah, true.
By weirdos, I mean weird kids. It's mostly just little kids.
Yeah.
Or Japanese people who are really good at doodling.
Yeah.
Yeah. More Switch stuff.
Bloodstained. The Kickstarter by the Castlevania guy, something Igashi.
Yeah, something like that.
Koji, I think it's
Koji
Igashi.
Yeah.
It was going to have a Wii U version, not anymore. They're changing it to the Switch, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine if you don't have a Switch and you only had a Wii U, that might tick you off a little.
I would imagine. But I think they're... What did he say? They're going to open up like their backer rewards thing again. So if you want to choose a different version, I think they're doing a PC port of it as well.
Yeah.
So if you have a Wii U and you're dead set against buying the Switch, you can play this game. You're not going to just be out your backer money.
It's probably for the best, though. I mean, I bet the Wii U version would have to be pared down a little bit.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And now it won't.
Yeah. And now they won't have to design a version that utilizes the bottom screen.
Yeah.
Which will...
save them on work.
It would be way easier for them to just build a game that plays like every other system instead of having to build a game that utilizes the second screen and then backwards try to jerry-rig it to work with the Switch later on down the line.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It'll end up with a better game in the end. It'll be worth it, trust me.
Absolutely. And finally, we ran this article, this news bit, it must have been about a year ago.
Maybe longer.
Yeah. There was a Power Ranger from Wild Force, I believe. I forget what his name was. Medina, I think his last name.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Medea.
Yeah.
Tyler Perry's Medea.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Morphin Time up in her.
It's Morphin Time in her.
Oh, jeez.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's Morphin Time.
Either way.
Morphin Time.
You slap happy gentleman.
Anyway.
I'm very tired.
Yeah. Anyway, we ran a news bit that he was arrested for stabbing his roommate to death with a sword.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was at the time it was listed as self-defense that his roommate was off his rocker
and attacked him
and his girlfriend, and that he did it in self-defense. He was formally charged with it was like second degree manslaughter. He pled guilty to the murder.
Yeah, it turns out he did just kill a guy
with a sword.
So go Power Rangers.
Yeah, perfect timing, really.
Yeah,
if you think about it. Yeah. So
way to go.
I think he didn't get a full life sentence, or he didn't get anything like that because he pled out. And yeah. I think there were some extenuating circumstances, but it's like he's not showing up to conventions anytime soon.
Yeah. No.
He's going to Morphin Jail.
Morphin Jail, yeah.
He's going to the space dumpster.
The power did not protect him. So, yeah. So I guess we just wanted to kind of follow that one up. It's Power Rangers. It's news. We should probably mention it.
The movie comes out this week.
Yeah. I can't wait until next week when we can all talk about this movie.
And will or we would not eat our hats.
I'm getting a little concerned that I might have to apologize for being wrong on air.
Oh, no. I'm not going to apologize. It still looks like crap.
Well, anyway, let's go ahead and wrap things up here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us @nerd_overload and also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
Yep, that's right. We are also on iTunes and Stitcher, so go check us out over there. And thank you again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out. Almost forgot.